Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the All-American Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carr, and today I'm bringing you guys an episode covering all the latest stuff in the NBA, the trades, the draft, everything next. So as I mentioned today, getting into an episode covering all things NBA, we got the draft today. Teams are on the clock, I believe, at 8 p.m., and that'll kick off at the San Antonio Spurs, likely selecting Victor Wembanyama. And I'll go through my mock draft of the top 10 picks. I know I've been a little behind in my draft coverage, so I will get that to you guys today with explanations and everything for the top 10 picks. We're also going to start off here with the Boston Celtics three-team trade. They had one that fell through. Then they got it going again. The report is a two-team trade initially. They brought in the Memphis Grizzlies. Lot to cover on that front in this wild, wild start to the NBA offseason. Also going to talk a little bit about the team player options, which is the stage of free agency we are at right now, where you know guys are accepting and declining their team and player options, as well as you know the actual organizations for the team options. But we're going to get into that today. We're going to start off with the initial trade. And I loved, from a Celtics fan's perspective, I always let my bias get out of these episodes. But personally, I loved the original trade. I didn't love it at first, but the more I really envisioned it, I loved it. And I was ready. I was actually making an episode about it until, and I was going to publish it until I got the news. I had one ready on it. Until I got the news that the trade fell through. And you kind of felt that because it wasn't finalized. And a guy like Porzingis, who's been beat up in the past, could easily, you know, not pass a physical or something. But anyways, it wasn't even that. It was just, you know, the Clippers kind of seemed like they screwed things up. Celtics and Wizards kind of isolated themselves in the trade. And that seemed too good to be true anyways. The first trade, like, the Wizards were getting absolutely screwed again. And, you know, after they had really gotten not much for Bradley Beal, it seemed like the one revenge on this one to get a good amount for a very talented guy, just had his best season in Washington, Kristaps Porzingis, who would have walked away maybe from the organization had he not been traded in this signing trade. So anyways, he opts into his $36 million player option, which is huge because they had to get that done tonight. And, you know, right before the clock strikes 12, we get news of this new trade. It looked good initially, but then, you know, from a Celtics fan's perspective, I see that Marcus Smart has been dealt to the Memphis Grizzlies, and that broke my heart. I know, you know, you guys will probably say I'm overreacting, all the Celtics fans are, but I don't think you understand. I mean, he was the heart and soul of our team, and, you know, it's just sad. See Marcus Smart go. I mean, his hair is literally green. Like, that is how much he bleeds green. It's going to be so, so weird to see him in a Memphis Grizzlies jersey. I actually think he fits that team pretty nicely. And I am kind of a little bit surprised the Grizzlies are willing to kind of overpay for him a little bit. You know, in terms of, because I know Marcus Smart is trade value, but he's so much more valuable, I think, to us than other teams in the league. It's one of those guys, like, you just hate to see him on another team, but you love him if he's on your team. So, I don't know. I think he'll fit the Grizzlies pretty nicely. Voice crack. But anyways, from the Celtics perspective, it's going to be a little awkward because I was a little frustrated and confused as to why they didn't give up Malcolm Brogdon in this same deal. I mean, now it's a little awkward. Brogdon just got traded, basically. And now he has to return to the team with Marcus Smart gone. But, like, he's like, oh, I thought I was – I don't know. That's going to be an awkward dynamic for sure. And from the Grizzlies' perspective, I don't know. I mean, I think Malcolm Brogdon is very similar to Marcus Smart. Obviously, Marcus Smart plays a lot more grit, a little more toughness, I think. A lot more flopping, for sure. But Brogdon seems like the, you know, the safer player. I don't know. The Grizzlies, they know what they wanted. They wanted a battle-tested veteran point guard with playoff experience. And I think they could have gotten that in Malcolm Brogdon, but they must have really wanted Marcus Smart for Brad Stevens to give him up like this. But I think the Celtics actually got a very good return on him. It's just one of those guys, it's tough to explain. It's just, you hate to see him leave the team, even if it's for a guy like Steph Curry or Kevin Durant. Marcus Smart, that's always going to sting a little bit. And I do not blame him if he feels betrayed right now by the front office and Brad Stevens. I can't even imagine what that conversation was like. That must have been heartbreaking. I mean, the guy was probably in tears. But anyways, finds a new home in Memphis. I wish him luck. I hope he is back in a Boston Celtics jersey again someday. But I do think that, you know, as much as I just kind of let my heart out there, I really think that will hurt us, you know, late in games. Marcus Smart is so good. I know you can call it flopping or whatever, and I agree with you, but he makes those plays late in games. You know, he's on the team's best player. He is guarding them, and he just finds a way to draw foul. You know, get a play that, you know, riles up the crowd. Just some way late in games, he always finds a way to do that. And with Malcolm Brogdon, Derek White, two great point guards who, you know, play a very similar, you know, style to Marcus Smart. They have similar strengths. I don't know if we're going to have plays like that late in games. But I do think we are well suited at the guard position. We did have a little bit of a logjam there, so I don't mind dishing out one of them, but Marcus Smart's the one that's definitely going to hurt the most, in my opinion. The offensive end, I think it gets a little cleaner, though. He was a little bit troublesome on the offensive end. He would just get a little trigger happy, but I thought he was actually an underrated shooter. He really didn't offer much besides three-point shooting. You know, he'd kind of bring the ball up, you know, set the tempo, organize the offense a little bit, but I'd rather have White and Brogdon do that. But they're all pretty similar in terms of shooting, and maybe, you know, this opens up a little more playing time for Peyton Pritchard or another move. I don't know if the Celtics are done. They might have a little bit of extra money to spend on another guard to replace Smart's role, and also now they have to fill a few spots on the roster since I'll read the trade out, though, but Boston gives up they give up Mike Muscala, Danilo Gallinari, and pick 35, as well as obviously Marcus Smart. They returned Kristaps Porzingis and two first round picks from Memphis. One is tonight, the 25th pick, and then one is next year, and that is Memphis's first round pick. Washington received Tyus Jones from Memphis. Mike Muscala and Danilo Gallinari, as well as pick 35 tonight from Boston. And then Memphis, obviously, with just a simple return of Marcus Smart, a simple but I think a great move to get Marcus Smart. But in terms of, you know, thinking about it from Memphis's perspective, they have a pretty similar player, or at least a budding young star, I think, in Tyus Jones, who they signed to a contract extension, I believe, a year ago, who, you know, could, I think, is definitely capable of holding down that starting point guard position, at least while Ja kind of figures out his issues and is suspended for the first 25 games in the season. I don't really understand the logic of giving up two first-round picks for Marcus Smart. I don't know. I just don't see this team as a contender yet. I don't think that's necessarily a huge upgrade from Tyus Jones to Marcus Smart, just because I don't know if he's going to fit their team as well. Like, the thing is, if you're willing to give up two first-round picks in that deal, it better be a pretty marginal upgrade. And as much as I love Marcus Smart, I think Tyus Jones could easily become him in a year or two, like, or very similar to him. You know what I mean? I mean, Tyus Jones is younger. They showed they believed in him. He was very capable, I thought, you know, last season and in the playoffs. And I guess if you want to upgrade, you know, sure, but two first-round picks is a little bit of a hefty price to pay. And then as far as Washington's perspective, they once again don't really get much of an upgrade. That deal with the Clippers actually might have favored them a little better because they got a higher draft pick, but man, oh man, Washington in their front office. I mean, the Bradley Beal trade was one thing. I might have criticized them a little bit too hard because his salary was such a hurdle. And, you know, obviously with the no trade clause from the previous front office group that gave him that nonsensical deal, You know, he really had to go to the Suns. I just thought they could have waited it out a little bit more. They had leverage, waited it out, tried to get, you know, a little bit better of a return than what they got. Anyways, though, this is Porzingis. And I know it's a guy who could have walked away, but you can trade him to any team you want. This is the best you can get for him? I don't know. I mean, it's not like Mike Muscala or Danilo Gallinari are going to play much of, you know, roles in this team. This team is light years away from contention. I do like the acquisition of Tyus Jones. They pretty much have that point guard spot now locked up with him and Monte Morris there. And you have pick 35, you know, to build some young talent. But that's the thing about rebuilds. I mean, normally when you the upside of, you know, rebuilding and being that bad is you get, you know, higher draft picks. And, you know, you acquire, dump out your previous stars to acquire more draft picks and draft capital to, you know, have a lot of swings at, you know, acquiring young talent through the draft. And if you bust on a few, it's all right because you have that many draft picks and you have such high ones that, you know, it will benefit you in the long term if you hit on enough. The problem with the Wizards is they still have a lot of veterans on the roster and they haven't hit a hard reset button. They haven't. I mean, maybe they do that later this offseason, but this is going to be a painstakingly slow rebuild just because of how few picks they have. Like, a few second-round picks are not going to make the difference. They have, like, one first-round pick 1 year, one first-round pick the next year. And they do a pick 8 tonight's draft. I will talk about that later. But pick 35, that's the best return you can get. I don't know about that. I don't know. I just thought between Bradley Beal and, you know, Kristaps Porzingis, they could squeeze out at least one first-round pick. But they couldn't, so I don't know. I don't know. Wizards, I thought, could have got a better return. This isn't a horrible trade, though. And they do dump out some salary to clear up some room. So they better hit it hard in free agency. Or this front office is just, you know, a masterful drafting front office. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be, you know, my opinion might change based on what they do tonight. Maybe they really hit it out of the park at pick number 8. And their second round picks are pretty solid tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see. Or they maybe, you know, they use some second round picks to move up. We'll see. The road is not over, or the road has not ended for Washington. They still have a full offseason to figure things out, but they have gotten off to a very rocky start, especially because Kyle Kuzma just opted out of his player option. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. From Boston's perspective, you know, aside from giving up Marcus Smart, which will sting a little bit more than I think a lot of people look at it on paper. I thought this was a very solid trade. I mean, maybe even better than the first one you can make an argument for, cause we get two first round picks, which is very valuable. If they use them, great. If they use them to trade for another player, even better, I think. But I'm going to be interested to see what they do with those picks. Cause the fact that they got two first round picks in that deal and Washington didn't get a single one, like Boston got the most valuable draft picks and the best player in that deal in one 3-team trade. That's not right, but Brad Stevens fleeced them somehow. I love this deal for Boston. I really didn't like the fit at first with Kristaps Porzingis, but I love it. The more that I envision it and look at it as an on-court product, I think he fits right in. I think offensively, he's not going to do as much as he did last year. He's going to do, you know, kind of what Al Horford did, just I think at a better level and a little more youthful, since Horford is still so old, people forget, but he's still balling out there. But Porzingis, you know, he's just going to shoot the basketball. He's going to shoot threes. He's going to hit him at a high clip. And defensively, though, this is going to really help out the Celtics. I love Rob Williams defensively, but he's not a great, you know, one-on-one defender. He can't hold his own down low just because he's not that tall. Like, he's a big dude, but Rob is 6'9", I think. And one-on-one, that's why they didn't play him against Embiid. They didn't really play him that much against Adebayo. He's a weak side shot blocker at best, but he's probably the best weak side shot blocker in the NBA. But you need that anchor defensively, and Porzingis can kind of even slide out to the perimeter sometimes. But he's going to provide some versatility. He's going to provide a lot of rim protection. He is 7'3" after all. He can basically just stick his hand up there and nothing will go in. But I think that's a great move for the Celtics, just what they needed. The problem is you dump off the heart and soul of your team. So it's going to be a trade-off. Interesting to see how it plays out. But I like the Wizards and I guess Memphis too. I don't think the Celtics are done. I think there are more moves ahead following this deal. Moving on to the team and player options, we had Chris Middleton decline $40 million from the Milwaukee Bucks. Insane. One move that'll help out the Celtics for sure, because if you're opting out of $40 million, I don't know if he's staying with the Bucks. And if he's staying with the Bucks, I don't think it's going to be a lot more money. I think it's going to be a pay cut maybe. Chris Middleton might have to find a new home. He might be a little frustrated in Milwaukee, even though he got a ring just a few years ago with Giannis. I think he's the perfect pair with Giannis. I still think that will work out. They had injuries this year in the playoffs, and they faced a really good Miami team that made it all the way to the finals. I know Giannis got clowned for not saying the season was a failure. I don't think it was an absolute failure. I mean, they had a pretty good year. They've been the same team they always did. They just got, you know, locked into a tricky, tricky first-round matchup and had their best player down in the series. Like, yeah, I mean, that's going to hurt you a little bit. But you still have one of the best players in the NBA. And Chris Middleton was about to get, a huge payday, and that was for sure an opt-in. But interesting to see what he does. Maybe I'm missing something here, but this either means, and it's hard to see Chris Middleton another team, but this either means that he's going to another team or he's taking a pay cut. The Bucks, I don't think, are going to pay him more than $40 million. I don't know if he's worth that much, first of all. You have Jrue Holiday. You have Chris Middleton. You have your nice little big three. You also have to retain Brook Lopez at free agency. So maybe they move some money around. Middleton returns on a smaller deal. Hopefully for the Bucks, they're praying that that is the case for Bucks fans. But as a Celtics fan, I'm pretty happy. I actually love that move. And then the other one, Kyle Kuzma declined his $13 million player option. Not a huge surprise. I think he'll find some more money elsewhere. Washington hitting, rock bottom right now. I don't know why you would opt into any deal there. So Kuzma, find a new home, get some more money. I like that move. And there's a few others. Kristaps Porzingis obviously opting into his $36 million a year player option with the Celtics. The Celtics reportedly are going to look to extend him, which I don't love. I like 1 year to kind of assess, or at least halfway through the year to kind of assess if he's healthy or not, first of all. But assess your roster, assess the fit. Because, Jason Tatum's Supermax, he's eligible for one, I think, next year. You're going to have to pay Jaylen Brown as well. A lot of money moved around. I don't think you look to extend Porzingis, a guy who is constantly hurt. That's the one knack I had in this trade in the beginning. I don't think you extend him this year because, if you're going to pay him a lot. I think that he's eligible for like a two-year $77 million extension. That would not work out because, you're going to have a kind of a similar situation in the Phoenix Suns almost. If you have those three guys on that large contracts, you're going to have no other money for anyone else. When looking at the Celtics, I think Grant Williams is gone after this trade. Forgot to mention that earlier. He's going to find a new home unless you can bring him back on a small deal and he's like no market free agency. And there's a few small other ones. I think like Damian Jones opted into his player option in Utah. A few other small ones. But as free agency and the rest of the NBA offseason moves along, I'll have more coverage on all that stuff later. Now and today, Thursday, it is time for the draft. I could not be more excited. This is my favorite event like all year round. This and the NFL draft. I mean, I don't know what it is about it, but this is like my like birthday. I think NFL draft is my Christmas. This is my birthday. I mean, I love these. A few years ago, though, I remember I was so obsessed with the NBA draft. I would have binders and binders of like mock drafts and everything. I love the NBA draft. I still do love it. But this year, the top three pick, like Adrian Wojnarowski kind of ruined this thing a little bit. Because now you know who everyone's picking. I like the unpredictability of it. That's why I'm doing the top 10, though. Because aside from the first three, it is a little bit unpredictable. But this, I would say, is a more predictable class. Anyways, this is a talented class for sure. We start off at number one with San Antonio Spurs. Victor Wembanyama. As much as I don't love Victor Wembanyama, I think he does make sense, the first overall pick. Sure, and you can debate me on whether this guy's going to be a superstar or not. I think for sure he's going to get hurt. And I hate predicting injury and wishing that on guys, and I'm not wishing him injury at all. I just think when you're that stature and you've such low, you know, muscle and fat on your bones, like this guy, just looking at him, he is going to have some, you know, injury problems for sure throughout his career. But, you know, I do like his skill set. I think, he does have the most upside in this class. Really, the sky is the limit for him. I just think right now, and kind of like Kristaps Porzingis, a guy we talked about earlier, coming out of the draft, though, I think it will take some time for him to develop. But San Antonio Spurs can afford that, and they are the right spot for him. They need him, first of all, on their roster, just fit-wise, and also they have perhaps the best coach in the NBA, and Greg Popovich, a guy who is notoriously known for just developing his players and maximizing their potential to the fullest. This is a young, youthful roster, and this will definitely accelerate their rebuild a little bit, but they have a lot of time until they are full-time contenders. So I like that pick. And then Charlotte has been locked in on Brandon Miller from Adrian Wojnarowski. He reported that the other day. And I actually do like this. The more I think about it, I'm not a huge Brandon Miller fan either. I don't think he's as good of a shooter as people say he is, but he does have a lot more potential than other guys in this class. And Scoot Henderson, LaMelo Ball wouldn't have really worked out. I hate to say it, but it wouldn't have really worked out. Drafting for talent versus fit is a thing, and you know, you want to take the best available player, but Brandon Miller makes a lot more sense to this team. They need a forward, and why would you logjam yourself at the guard position and leave you know the rest of your roster with holes? Brandon Miller makes a lot more sense. He just fits them better. And you know, I do have questions about Scoot's outside shooting. I think like Wembanyama and even Brandon Miller, they're all a little bit overrated. Like, I'd be surprised if these three are the best three in the class. I think Wembanyama might be the best player in this class, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to be Scoot and Brandon Miller. I think another guy will probably jump in, but Brandon Miller, Cody, I think he is more upside than Scoot, to be honest. I just, Scoot's outside shooting is a big concern for me. I don't think a lot of people look at that. Yeah, he's athletic, he's fast, all that. Could be the next John Morant, Derrick Rose, just due to his explosiveness, because this guy's body is, he really treats it like a temple. Like, this guy is jacked. And I have him going pick number three to Portland. They want to keep the pick. They love Scoot. But I do have a few question marks in Portland, because now you really have a logjam at the guard position with Anthony Simons there. So they do they deal him? Do they add another piece because they're keeping Dame in Portland? I don't know why, but they think they have another year to this guy. And you also have Shaedon Sharpe too. So interesting to see what they do. But if Scoot falls to them, which it looks like he will, they might trade the pick. We'll see. Or they keep Scoot and have an absolute mess at the guard position. I don't know. But they will probably figure it out and do it in the worst way possible, thinking they still have a title shot with Dame. I don't know. The Wizards were a team like them with Bradley Beal, but hey, they made the right moves, and even if they didn't get a great return on them, I'm glad they hit the reset button. I think Portland should too. Story for another day, though, as we move on to pick number four, Houston with Amen Thompson. One where I don't really understand the fit, but I guess you kind of have more of a pure point guard in Amen, a guy who, like Scoot, isn't a great outside shooter. But he'll kind of, you know, set the tempo, maybe calm this team down a bit from the point guard position. Then you kind of have KPJ and Jalen Green as your wings on this team. But, you know, I could explore other options here, but Houston is locked in, it seems like, with Amen Thompson. And you can make the argument, you know, Ausar Thompson is pretty talented too. I don't know. It's close. It's close. But Amen Thompson locked in with Houston at 4. 5 is where it really gets interesting because Detroit has kind of gone away, shied away from Cam Whitmore, which I don't really understand. I thought he was a perfect fit on their roster. But anyways, Detroit, in the most Detroit fashion, a guy like Troy Weaver, their general manager, this is such his type of prospect. And even if their forward and center position is now, I've said this word like 5 times, but log jammed, they are probably going to select Jairus Walker. The one thing that Walker can offer that none of those guys can on the roster, which I think it's Isaiah Stewart, Jalen Dern, and Marvin Bagley and James Wiseman, all those four, I mean, that's crazy, but they will probably add to it, is a little more offensive versatility. He does have the potential to create his own shot, even though I don't think he will. But, you know, he's 6'7". Yeah, he's 6'7". He's a big kid, though, and can kind of slide into the three. He's a versatile two-way guy. So, I don't know. I think Walker doesn't really a great fit, but this is such a Troy Weaver move. And I'm picking on what I think the teams will do, not what I think they should do. Moving on to number 6, Orlando. It is no secret that the Magic want a point guard. And another one that I don't totally understand. You know, they kind of have Markelle Fultz and Jalen Suggs. And I know those guys haven't totally panned out, but Anthony Black seems like the obvious one here. Black can kind of work as a combo guard, I guess, but he's a very talented guy. I think this guy wasn't, you know, great at Arkansas, but you can see him. He has NBA potential. Anthony Black certainly does. I think he's a solid fit, though, with the Magic, and he just makes sense here at pick number 6. He can offer a little more outside shooting and, you know, perimeter-oriented player. Magic are in a good spot, though. You know, they really have a lot of their roster, and you know, each position is kind of filled out with one guy with a lot of potential who's young and developing. Pick number 7, Indiana. Interesting situation here, but they are also looking for a guy like Jairus Walker, who can kind of slide into that 3 or the 4 spot, provide some defensive versatility, some athleticism to the roster. Look no further than Taylor Hendricks. I was kind of between him and Cam Whitmore on this pick, but I think they lean Hendricks a little bit, you know, they kind of slide into that 4 spot. Like, Jalen Smith was their 4, but not really that great of a starting 4 guy. And I think Jalen Smith is actually better at the 5. That's what the Suns drafted him to be a few years ago. So Hendricks can kind of slide into the 4, slide into the 3. Guy can set screens and provide some good two-way action there for Indiana. Number 8, the Washington Wizards. Like I said, their guards, you know, now they have Monte Morris and Tyus Jones, the point guard position. You don't need another point guard. Johnny Davis developing into 2. And like their forwards and all that stuff, I don't really see a guy who could pick here. I like Cam Whitmore, who's a little bit of a, you know, shooting guard, small forward. Maybe he could slide down on the 4 a little bit, but just an athletic guy. And maybe he didn't have a great workout with Detroit. I thought he was a perfect fit there. I think he is a versatile guy who could fit a lot of teams. Reminds me a little bit of Sadiq Bey coming out, another Villanova small forward. And I don't know, I think he's a solid fit, can kind of plug the middle there for Washington and develop into a really nice player, because I think he has a lot of potential and just a well-rounded player overall. Number 9 with Utah is kind of back and forth between Ausar Thompson and Cason Wallace. I really like Cason Wallace out of Kentucky. That guy, if he's not good in the NBA, I'm going to question myself, because he has all the tools to be a really solid NBA guard. I think if it's right in with Utah, I think they have a great forward duo, or great front court duo in Walker Kessler and Lauri Markkanen. I don't see them adding that, even though a guy like Jairus Walker or Taylor Hendricks could fall. I like going with the guard position here. I think they kind of have a need for a guard. And Cason Wallace just makes sense. Just a guy who can kind of do it all. Pass first or score for you. I just really, really solid all-around guard who fits nicely there in Utah. Number 10, Dallas. I could see them trading this pick as well. But Derek Lively is, you know, the clear number one center in this draft, and they kind of need a center really, really badly if they don't get one free agency. So Derek Lively will be the pick here for Dallas, a guy who can pair with Luka, run the pick and roll well, rebound, play defense, solid rim protector, and solid all-around center who can lock it down low. All right, well, we just hit the 30-minute mark, and that is my time to leave. So I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Cannot wait for the draft tonight. Let me know your thoughts on this trade as well. And free agency, I'll love a lot more NBA offseason episodes. But for now, I'll see you guys next time. Peace.